Thank you, brother. Glory. Slip your right hand up if you would, please. Father, we thank you for your divine presence. We ask you for inspiration, revelation, divine insight. Help us to see and understand that we may walk in the perfect will of God, that we may accomplish much in the earth and touch many lives. Souls be saved, sick bodies healed, those that are bound shall be delivered. Thank you, Father, for using us and our brethren in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen, amen and amen. You may be seated. As a preacher, I first have an obligation to God to preach what he tells me to preach. And sometimes, you know, you want to kind of back off from some controversial subjects. And why do you think there are some subjects that are controversial? Is because the devil don't want you to preach on them. Here's a secret I learned, every preacher ought to learn this. If your church needs more people in it, preach on soul winning. If people need healing, preach on healing. When you preach on it, faith comes for you to believe it, and your faith level will rise. Somebody say amen. And so for several years, I kind of stayed away from a certain subject, and I'm kind of building up to it now. Because when you say it, people go clamp down, because this is the world's idea. How many believe God's a good father? Amen. You believe he is? Amen. You really believe he is? He quoted the scripture, "The blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and addeth no sorrow." People don't see that poverty is under the curse. Did you know every church in America wants prosperity? They just don't want you to preach on it. Every church in America wants prosperity. They just don't want you to preach on it. Why? Then they need to do something or change the way they think. Don't get mad at me. This ain't my first rodeo. But just because you preach something don't mean you've done it. Over the years, I've noticed that at least half of your independent churches don't pay tithes. Now, they preach tithes. They just don't practice it. This is a lot better preaching than you are saying amen. Open your Bible to 3 John, please. You can quote this. I can quote it. It says, "Beloved," verse 2, "above all things." Reckon he meant that. Amen. Reckon he meant that. "Above all things," the word there is wish, but a better translation is pray. Everybody say pray. I pray that you'd prosper. People have a problem with the word prosperity. It's a Bible word. Rich is a Bible word. I found out why the devil hates it so much. They don't care that Britney Spears has a jet. They don't care if this one over here has a jet. But you let a preacher drive a nice car, Bible said in Psalm 112, the wicked grieve when they see the righteous prosper. Makes them mad. See, they want to gnash their teeth on them. Now, why? They don't get mad at basketball players that make millions of dollars to bounce a ball. In their covetous, envious, carnal mind, they think they were riffing off the poor. Well, wasn't Jesus standing there when the widow woman gave her last two mites? Wasn't she poor? Why didn't he stop her? Because she needed the harvest off of that. Now, people don't realize it, but a lot of times, and I'm going slow, they'll misquote scripture. "Well, now, preacher, you know money is the root of all evil. Then how come you spend two-thirds of your life trying to get it?" That ain't what he says. It says the love of it. God is not against you being wealthy. He's against you being covetous and envy. Now, God taught me, and I'm going to teach you. I had some envy in me and didn't even know it. Don't look so holy. I was in a service in Joplin, Missouri, preaching, and a friend of mine came through. And after service, we just talked. Now, he just fasting through. And a lady went out to her car and came back in and gave him $1,000 right in front of me. I was the preacher. He just fashioned through. it buggeth me. Huh? The next day he gave me half of it, so half of it in our ministry. I wasn't quite so disturbed. I said, Lord, what was it? He said, that's envy. I said, no, not me, Fat Boone's twin. You want to locate somebody and mess with their money. Your God is your time and your money. You can say what you want to. Whatever, if you want to follow who you love, follow the money trail. Follow where you spend your time. He said, above all, I was your prosper in health as your soul prosper. Let me say it another way. As your decision-making process matures. He wants your insides to prosper. He wants your outside to prosper. As your soul. So God has to bless you according to you. He can't bless you according to me. He has to bless you according to you. Now, God is not withholding any good thing. God's not holding back nothing. Matter of fact, he's blessing you all he can. Money's never the problem. Never. Never the problem. I've seen in this town more beggars than I've ever seen in any town in my life. Almost every street corner. People begging. Ought not be. Bible said in Proverbs, y'all give me, what in the world? Yeah, just drive around in Fayetteville. You'll see some beggars standing on the street. Bible says prosperity comes by good planning and hard work. Amen. Somebody say amen and encourage me just a little bit. He said here in 3 John, beloved, above all, was you prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. Jump a verse down, it says, Father has no greater joy than to see you walk in the truth. Everybody say truth. Say it again. What? The truth about prosperity. The truth he's talking about. God has no, now how many believe that? God has no greater joy than to see you prosper. Well, big part of the church thinks you ought to take a vow of poverty. When I was being raised up in a Pentecostal church, they were Pentecostals because they gave pennies. Power of life and death is in your tongue. So is poverty and prosperity. He said you can talk too much and it'll lead to penury or poverty. Huh? A lot of people talk poor. We ain't going to have no Christmas. Come on, somebody. And so I want to help you. Not for my benefit. Did you know it's almost challenging to prove to people? I'm not trying to get a gift for me. I want you to build up to where you can pay your bills, be a blessing to you, your house, your kids, and your grandkids. You'll hear if you say, wow, that guy died and he was a good man. Oh, he's a good man. Now he owed a bunch of bills and the county had to bury him, but he's a good man. No, no, that's your opinion. The Bible says a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, huh? And the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. So nice cars and nice houses is only for sinners. No, no. It's just a tool. The devil hates Christians. But you know what he hates more than that? Wealthy Christians. Because you have resources to bless people. If you want to, you can write this down. Your ministry is in your abundance. Your service is in your surplus. If you had a dollar to buy gas to get here, you can't be a blessing to anybody. Your service is in your surplus of your overflow. You can't feed anybody if you can't feed yourself. So real service is beyond you just being blessed, but to be a blessing to someone else. Somebody say amen. People do not connect the dots. But the Bible says, his stripes you healed, blood you're saved, and through his poverty, for your sake, everybody say my sake. Say it again. One more time. For your sake, Jesus became poor, that through his poverty, you might become wealthy. People don't understand. Poverty is under the curse. It's part of the curse. Yet people don't brag on it. Huh? I'm just a dumb old broke hillbilly. Well, don't stand close to me. If I say I love Brother Dale. Now, I could have preached on the rapture tonight, and everybody would love me. But you need some help now in this realm to pay your bills. Most people argue because they're under financial pressure. Most people have a lot of trouble because they're under financial pressure. They spend most of their energy, most of their time, they're tired and wore out. Huh? Let me say something. You can work till you fall over dead and not have enough. You need the blessing of the Lord on it. Otherwise, you can put it in bags with holes in it. Huh? He quoted a while ago, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. You ask folks, Christians, are you rich? They go, rrr, 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 rrr. They can't even say the word. That's how I love Brother Dale. So, as my children, I like to see them prosper, have their bills paid, dress well, live in a nice home. I'm a very frugal individual. I've lived in the same house for 37 years. The other day, I looked in the cabinet trying to find a cup of coffee, or a cup, and I said, honey, where's the cups at? Same place they've been for 37 years. Okay, I'll finally find them. But here's my point. I could go tomorrow, go to the bank, borrow $300,000, and build a brand new house, and have $2,000 a month payment. But I'd rather live not on the edge, but live to where I'm able to tithe, sow seed, help people in need. Come on, somebody. So a lot of people don't understand, you can't live where your faith's not at. You can't live to where your seed planting's not at. Come on, somebody. And so we need to learn sometimes, the downsizing is not a bad word. If you have to borrow the money to buy a Rolex, you're not there. I thought that was good. Huh? We was going to give a Lincoln Continental car one time to a lady, and we was going to get to her, and the Lord said, she can't afford the insurance. Wouldn't do her any good. You have to locate where you're at, not live beyond your means. God is big into stewardship. Even though he fed the multitude, he made them pick up 12 baskets. He's a Jew. He taught the Jews how to Jew. First thing he taught them was how to handle their money. Huh? So most churches have been reduced to car washes, peanut brittle, and fire sales. Huh? Sure is quiet in this full gospel church. Now, I know she do something, it's nothing. Well, we're going to have a car wash and go to Haiti. Praise the Lord. Do a missionary trip. Well, how are you going to get back? There's no cars over there to wash. Turn to Psalm 35. I want you to see, I want you to settle this once and for all. God wants you to prosper, and it pleases him. Does it please you when you see your kids prosper? Does anybody get joy when your kids are kicked out of their house, the kids ain't got no clothes, they can't buy milk for their baby? No, that don't please you. Well, God is a lot better father than we are. But yet this has such a stigma on it. Because in the built-in human being part of us is self-survival. And envious covetous is bigger than you think. I can make you mad with my money. I can buy everybody here a brand new car but you. And you'd be mad. Well, what's wrong with me? Huh? You can tell when money bothers people. When they talk, they go, $10,000. You can tell when you're envious, when you talk, discuss, why they need that big old house. You can tell right there, it buggeth thee. Huh? See, there's things in people they don't recognize that's keeping God's blessing from them. And until you deal with it, He can't afford to bless the person and it take them further away from him. Too many people get ahead, and for you know it, God is not in the picture. As long as they're desperate, they'll trust him. But how much greater do you love God when you have all your needs met, all your bills are paid, you got money in the bank, and you still want to serve him? It proves beyond a shadow of a doubt. Let me put it another way. Let's say I was single and extremely good looking. But I'm worth $50 million. And every single girl in town wants to date me. Well, I would never know if it's after my money or after me. But if I was bone ugly and bone broke and still they wanted to marry me, she was quiet. For 30 some odd years, I traveled and preached and groveled and barely got by. I would drive to a revival and never turn the key off in the car. You know why? It wouldn't start. So I know what poverty is. I come from a family of 13 children. I didn't know chicken had white meat till I was about 15 years old. All I ever got was a gizzard. I got my chewing gum from a few at the church. Work with me, people. Where does prosperity come from? It comes by humility. Humble yourself. Learn to listen. Learn to be meek. Learn to change your thinking patterns so you'll make the right choices. Why does the world get mad? Now, listen, I can't even begin to tell you how stupid people think it are today in the political world. There's just no words for it. It's insanity. And we have a group they want prosperity, equality for everybody, except prosperity preachers. Socialism doesn't work. It never has, it never will. God said you don't work, you ought not eat. Now, see, to some of you, that sounds awful harsh. But see, you know what? You might be kind of stubborn. You go about 2 weeks without no food, you'll kind of get humble. You'll kind of straighten up a little. Come on, somebody. And so we want to talk about, does God take pleasure? Psalm 35, are you there? Look at verse 27. Put that on the screen for you. Psalm 35, verse 27. It actually tells us to say continually. How often? How often? How often? Continually let them shout for joy, be glad that the favor of my righteous cause, and let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified with his pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. You need to settle it right now. It pleases God for you to prosper. If the word prosper bothers you, change it to the word success. God wants you to succeed. God does not want you to fail. He wants you to succeed. Any endeavor, any missionary trip, any revival, anything you want to build, he wants you to succeed. Now, where people miss it, a lot of times it's ego and ambition, and the Bible says the steps of a good man. He didn't say the leaps. If you're running a church of a couple of hundred people and you want to build, don't build a church seat 5,000. That's a leap. Take a step. 200, go to 500. You get 500, go to 1,000. Come on, somebody. Do it in stages. I learned this from Oral Roberts. Do one project at a time, get that paid, and go to the next one. There is no such freedom on the planet like being debt-free. Ask me how I know. Last 10 years, I haven't had a need. Hadn't had a struggle. Come on, somebody. But I made sure I keep a lot of seed in the ground. Are you listening to me? I said, are you listening to me? Now, don't get mad at me. But if you're going to change things, it has to start with your mind and your heart. We have to get delivered from covetous. Do you know it bothers a lot of churches if our offerings are good? That's envy. If I went to a church and the offering was $2,000 or $3,000, I've had them get mad at me because the offerings were good. You check every revival in the Bible and the book of Acts, brother, they brought the money and laid it at their feet. When there's a move of God, the finances, it shows the liberality of people's hearts. I got three praise Gods. Say how often? Wonder why we need that. Because the world preaches you ought not have anything. The world preaches, you dirty, rotten dog, you're taking widow woman's money. Well, done the lottery? Huh? Done the casinos? Come on, somebody. They don't call them out because they don't understand Bible language, so they think preachers that are prosperous has to be crooks. And most preachers who are not blessed think the preachers that are blessed are crooks. Now, I do understand there are preachers that are crooks. They are. But that don't do away with the message. You should say, the Lord is pleased when I am blessed. Abraham was blessed by God so he can be a blessing. I had a man working for me one time, and he was a carpenter, and he was doing some kind of job, and he looked at me and said, I just hate rich people. I thought, I ought to buy a teacher that says stupid and make you wear it. If it wasn't for rich people, you wouldn't have a job. Huh? So where does wealth come from? It comes from God. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich, add no sorrow. But your part to play, you ought to continually say, you ought to continually say, my Father takes pleasure in my success. My Father takes pleasure in my success. Make your daddy happy. Be blessed. Make your daddy happy. Prosper. But it comes through decisions. It comes through your soul making the right decision according to Scripture. Talking to a factor. He said, we're struggling financially. I said, do your church pay tithes? He said, I ain't even thought about it. I said, well, do you preach it? He said, yeah. I said, well, you ought to practice it. But here's what they come up with. Listen to me. I'm smarter than look. They always come up with this. Well, I understand that, but the Lord's blessed us, and if we tithe, we just can't afford to tithe. That's the very same thing that other guy says. It's not the amount you have. God fixed it for nobody can outgive anybody else. It's impossible. You give according to what you have. Have you ever noticed tithes has never gone up? Huh? But if you won't tithe off 100, you won't tithe off 100,000. So it has to do with your choices, not God. God's not holding back. God can make you a billionaire before sundown tomorrow night. If you're in the right place, come on, somebody. But I've seen over time, people get an inheritance. They'll get a settlement. And before you know it, they ain't not in church anymore. So why would God give you blessing that would take you away from him? He won't do it. So it has to be according to your soul prospering, and that's your choices. It has to, it's covetous. Covetous hides behind religion. It does. Covetousness hides behind religion. Let me tell you how. The woman brought a $30,000 foot washing ointment. $30,000. Precious, probably a year's salary. Judas said this should have been sold and given to the poor. He wasn't interested in the poor. Let me tell you something about the poor. You see, there's a reason they're poor. They won't work. This is my last night. I'm going to hit you and run.
If you 65, 70 years old and you ain't got no money, something wrong with you. You've had 40, 50 years to parlay. The Bible said a wise man wears a crown because of his wealth. The secular world says, if you so smart, how come you ain't wealthy? So we just quiet in this full gospel church. Well, that just money just don't mean nothing to me. I can't tell you how dumb that is. God has given you an assignment to share the gospel, to feed the poor, to buy Bibles. Just watch to see what you can do with a nickel. Huh? Well, I just don't want it. Well, I didn't say you had to keep it. Believe you in 10 V's and give it away if you want to. If y'all would say amen, that makes me think I'm doing real good. Bible said in Psalm 115, I'm just going to quote this. I will bless you more and more and more and increase you more and more, you and your children. Have you ever seen your children blessed? Oh, you do. Well, God has the same thing. He wants to see you blessed. But how come the devil fights it so much? Because in the earth, I can have you killed for $100. 50 if they're having a sale. It carries authority in the earth. You can do things. You can buy television time. You can buy radio time. You can buy an auditorium. You have the best figures in the world coming. Come on, somebody. I've been to foreign countries. And you can't get nothing done. But you wave a little cash and they'll open the door for you. You get some things done. Huh? I've took food to foreign countries. They let me come in because I brought food and medicine. It talks. It does things. In the earth, God expects us to use it wisely. Ecclesiastes says that nobody listens to a poor man's message. Tomorrow, go to a seminar. Guy weighs 750 pounds on how to lose weight. Ain't nobody going to show up. Ain't nobody going to listen to a poor man's message. How big God is, how great God is. You can't pay your bills. It's killing our witness. We shouldn't struggle. We should come not just to the land that flows with milk and honey, but on the land of milk and honey. Where it just flows to you. But I can tell you what's wrong. I can tell you exactly what's wrong. God's own family can't get along with one another. God's own family can't get along with one another. Huh? We have Christians divorcing. I can tell you how to get into poverty. It's called divorce. Huh? Dumb decisions. As your soul prospers. He watched. God is very big into stewardship. Very big into stewardship. Have you ever noticed how a man is double standard when it comes to a deer rifle? Oh, it's $7.99. It's cheap. It's on sale. What? You gave $3 for them pantyhose? $3? Well, a deer rifle is cheap. Big screen was cheap, but go to church. Whoo, what a lot of money. Watch people who say this. If I had their money, I'd do this. Well, you're wrong. If you had their money, you'd be them. And you'd do the same thing. People get all bent out of shape. Well, they gave $100,000 for that car. $100,000. That car ain't worth $100,000. It was to them. Who puts the value on something? The person that purchased it. Who put the value on you? God gave the most precious thing he had, not silver and gold, but the precious blood of his son, that you might be wealthy, healthy, successful. One of the big pleasures I had in life, I didn't have to. An individual gave me, to me personally, a relative, gave me $35,000. Just gave it to me in a piece of property, and I sold it somewhere. I gave it all to the ministry. Didn't keep a dime of it. I could have. God would have got mad at me. Went and bought a brand new pickup to travel in. This means work with me, or I'll preach all night. See, God knew my heart. I could, and it doesn't mean I'm going on vacation, but me and my wife, we've never been on a cruise. We're not wasteful. See, God watches that. Why would he bless you with more? Why would he give you a new car? You won't wash the one you got. It's a lot better preaching. See, my desire tonight is for your prosperity level to go up and up and up, so you can do anything God tells you to do. If you need to send your kids to college, pay for their education, not be under struggle, not have to work all your life. But I just don't believe that God wants you wealthy. Well, it's because you can't read. God made Abraham wealthy. God made Isaac wealthy. You know he made Solomon wealthy. People get all bent out of shape over nice churches. Listen, in the Old Testament, the altars was made out of solid gold. Huh? The snuffers, solid gold. The pitcher, solid gold. The shovel, the shovel made out of solid gold. You know why? God wants you to see how precious this salvation is. Now, I'd rather have God. It's money. You can have both. God has provided. His name, Jehovah Jireh, is the God that provides. He's El Shaddai, not El Chifo. But the mentality of the church is by the chiefest carpet, and they'll stand up and brag how much money we saved it all. Can you show me any scripture in the Bible where you're rewarded for money you saved the Lord? Now, I'm not talking about throwing it away. But buying cheap is always not the best. I ain't getting very many amens. I'm going to preach anyhow. The Lord said to me about, 15 years ago, to preach more on prosperity so people could have faith for it. First of all, if you're not out of debt, you ought to start believing and calling yourself debt-free. You ought to call yourself debt-free. Call yourself debt-free. This is what I say. I say to God almost every day, I'm healthy, wealthy, wise, and extremely good-looking. I live in divine favor. He adds to me. He's pleased in my prosperity. He blesses me in the city. He blesses me in the field. Everything I put my hand to, he blesses it. Say what he says about you. Say what he says. He said all of your needs are already met according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. If you look at that, Philippians 4:19, the word is not needs, plural, it's need. Everything you ever need was brought, bought, and paid for at Calvary. You're wealthy and don't even know it. You ought to claim your inheritance. If I had a rich uncle that passed away, left me $10 million, I'd be down at the courthouse beating on the door. You ought to go to the throne of God and start telling him what he says about you. Amen. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich. Watch this. Adds no sorrow. Drug money adds sorrow. Money gotten wrong adds sorrow. Reason we have so much trouble in the world is people getting money the wrong way, and it brings sorrow with it. How many lives are destroyed by one drug dealer? Now, don't get mad at me. This is my last night. Dentists do not pull teeth because they're in love with teeth. It is so sad that our medical profession is all about the money. They want a repeat customer. They don't want you well. They want you to come back and come back and come back and come back. Actually, they get a percentage of every script they write. though that prescription that gets you hooked on drugs pays for their Mercedes. And in this country, doctor's words is almost like God. People say, you can't live in Arkansas. The humidity's too high. You need to live in Arizona. They'll sell their house, move to Arizona, and live next to a cactus. Because the doctor said, well, whose report are you going to believe? I'm going to believe the report of the Lord. He said, through my poverty, I give you access to my wealth. Now go out there and claim what you have in my name. In my name, cast out devil. In my name, believe me, and I'll put you over. Actually, you ought to have an attitude against poverty. I upset people that are impoverished. Because I won't talk poor. They think you're trying to be smart aleck. Well, you know, Jesus was poor. Whose book are you reading? The Bible said that the secretary of Chusa, she followed him around and ministered to him. He had 70 on staff, full-time treasurer. He had clothes they gambled over. He owned his own house. When they tore the roof off, it didn't bother him. At his birth, the Magi brought him $33 million in gold. At his birth. At his birth. At his birth. King. Sign of a king, gold. Myrrh, frankincense, myrrh for his burial, frankincense because he's a priest. Right there, God preached the message. King, priest, burial. From birth to death. Come on, somebody. Do you believe God's already provided? Well, he'll shake off these heavy bands, cross over Jordan, into the promised land, and he'll give you houses you didn't build, vineyards you didn't plant. Come on, somebody. The wealth of the entire world belongs to him. It does. So I'm believing for Jack Daniel money. Playboy money. They never say anything about you after having his own jet. Without a preacher. What you doing with a jet to get around in? I have 3 airplanes. I put them together with glue. But there's nothing wrong with having something good and decent, especially if you have a heavy schedule. I'll tell you, if you'd have been in Philadelphia the other day and I spent 10 hours at the airport, you'd have wished to God you had a jet. 10 hours at the airport. Was he bored? I was stiff. The Lord said to me, I want you to help lead my people into the 100-fold return. Well, first of all, you got to believe it's for you. You meet people all the time that don't believe in the 100-fold. I think, how goofy can you be? There are peppers. Out of one pepper, take the seed, it produced 5,000 pounds of pepper. It don't mean you get $1, you get $100. It means you can take that seed and plant it, harvest it, replant, harvest it, replant, harvest it, replant, until you parlay. That's what you do on your job. We're living in the best time that this world's ever seen. Got more technology? Huh? More blessings? But look at the crowds of the church. Huh? Come on, somebody. Usually, people serve God more when they're desperate. But when you serve God and you're blessed too, that proves you love him beyond the... Come on, somebody. So does God want you blessed? He does. I said, he does. He wants you to come into the 100-fold. What keeps most people out of it is the persecution. Because with the 100-fold blessing comes 100-fold persecution. I have people can't stand me. Just can't stand me. I didn't do nothing. They don't like it because I'm blessed. They don't like it because I have to ask their permission. It thrilled me to go buy a brand new pickup, pay cash for it, didn't have to ask the banker. Huh? And I have a brother that's not as blessed as I am. He went and borrowed what it was. He'll pay $8,000 more than what I paid. Woo! The world system is crooked. What they teach us is borrow your harvest before you plant. Then plant and try to catch up all your life. So it takes discipline. It takes time to believe where you are and plant and parlay, plant and parlay, plant and parlay till your harvest comes in big enough. Then go buy what you need. And there's no penalty. This is a lot better preaching than y'all saying amen. But you talk about stirring up devils. Even Christians get mad at you. Are you one of them prosperity preachers? I have people challenge me on believing prosperity. I said, it's because you're a hypocrite. You got shoes on. Unless you live buck naked under a bridge, drink water out of a creek, and get grass out of a pasture, you have some prosperity. It's just the amount that bothers you. So, me and my wife, 35, 40 years ago, chose to come out of poverty. And so we started sowing seed. We started off with $2. We chose 25 ministry. You know I have faithful partners? I have some of the best partners in the world. I have $1,000 partners a month. You know why? Because I'm a good partner. You're always going to reap what you sow. If I didn't have partners, I couldn't come to little bitty churches. Come on, somebody. So my partners, you don't even know, loved you enough to send me here so your faith could rise and you could have prosperity. You know when I picked up $1,000 partners? When I broke through and gave $10,000 at one time. In just a few days, $1,000 partner. I broke through the alabaster box seal. I broke through the alabox. These stories are not in here just to take up space. Did Jesus die for your poverty? Yes, he did. He died for your poverty. You don't have to be poverty or sick or broke or lost. Hallelujah. Huh? He didn't die so you could be poverty. He died so your poverty could be put on him. He became poor for your sake. Now, you'd be surprised how much is in you that you don't recognize until God starts showing it to you. But he won't show it to you until you start seeking him on it. I was raised with 13 children. As I grew up and traveled, I tried to work out sometimes different places. I'd go somewhere that didn't have no gym or something. I'd go to a Walmart and walk or a mall. I noticed if I found a shirt I like, I'd buy two of them. So I got home and my wife said, how come you always buy two shirts? I said, I don't know. I got to looking inside myself. It took me back. I had brothers. And the one that got the earliest got the cleanest shirt. So I grew up scrambling for a shirt. So when I got grown, I'd always buy two so I'd have an extra. Come on, somebody. You have things in you you don't even realize is there. And if I listen to you talk very long, I can spot them for you and tell you. Right. Amen. First of all, you ought not be jealous of anybody else. When someone else gets blessed, you ought to be happy. I have over the years had church get mad at me because I got blessed. That's envy, because they think you got theirs. So they're not looking to God for their source, they're looking to people for their source. Get your eyes on people, you'll put pressure on people. Listen, when you receive an offering, never put pressure on people. You step out of faith. I meet Christians. They think they're believing God. Well, I'm believing God for a refrigerator. You got one? You're not a believer, you're a moocher. I'll preach over here a while. Turn to 2 Corinthians, the 8th chapter, verse 9. Here is a church in deep poverty. Everybody say deep poverty. Say it again. One more time. Well, me and my wife and kids went to Mexico probably 30 years ago. We took our own money, bought gifts, washcloths, toothpaste, little stuffed animal. We're down there in a very impoverished church, and we're giving away these gifts. Now, this is our Christmas. We've worked all year, took off, went on a missionary trip for Christmas, give them toothpaste, washcloths. Grown people were so excited over a little bitty basket of gifts. I seen right then why he said it's more blessed to give than it is to. I was having more fun than they were. Huh? Now, watch this. Have you ever watched your grandkid ride a bike for the first time? Didn't you get a thrill out of it? See, your Heavenly Father wants you to grow up and let him see what you become. Had a pastor call me yesterday. He said, Pastor, he said, Brother, I'm done. He said, I'm in financial straits. I can't pay my bills. He said, the church is not carrying it. He said, I'm just through. I said, sir, listen to me. God didn't fail you. Somehow or another, sometimes we think we're doing what we, for example, I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I'm giving big gifts. He said, no, you're not. He said, you preached Matthew 6:33? I said, yeah. He said, you're not doing it. I said, oh. Now, when he tells you you're not doing it, you're not doing it. I don't care what you tell yourself. Seek ye first the kingdom. Didn't say your ministry. Didn't say your church. Didn't say your denomination. It is so sad that everybody wants to stay with their group. Your group is not the kingdom. Sorry to inform you. God's bigger than your group. And so I told him, I said, take a sabbatical. I said, you did have a job before you took it. Yeah, I had to go back. Yeah, they said, they'll hire me. I said, go back, get your job back. Work for a while. Get your finances up. Get your seed in the ground. Get this unbelief and angst and brokenness out of your spirit. You can't believe God when you're broken. Can't believe God when you're sad. Can't believe God when you're mad at God. But it wasn't God's fault. I don't know who, why, how, but it wasn't God. Trust me, it wasn't God. God has never failed, never will fail. Understand something. There's never a seed planted that he forgets about. It may take a while for it to come up. Amen. But it'll come up. Somebody say amen. Have you found 2 Corinthians, the 8th chapter, verse 9? For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus. What was his grace? His grace, he gave himself. He left the splendor of heaven and gave himself. You can quote me. The highest form of love is giving. Say what you want to. The grace he had, he gave, though he was yet rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that through his poverty you might what? Be what? What's that word? Can you call things that are not as though they were? Can you call yourself rich? Can you call? Yeah, people have to get used to it. We've been so ingrained. I have people say, you know, oh, Brother Dale's after my I got more money than you. I don't want your money. I had a guy call me on the phone. He said, if you do this, do this, do this, my kids will pay tithes to you. I said, I don't want your kids' money. He got quiet. I'm not a hooker. I'm not for sale. Huh? I'm not going to rub up to you or some rich widow woman. Give you a sad story. You know why? Because if I run out, I got to find me another sucker. I mean, another person. But God's on my source. He's always on. You kind of cocky. You can be when your daddy owns it all. He said, though he was rich, you're saying he became poor. Next verse, please. I want to back up to the verse above it. I speak not commandment by occasion, the foreigners of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. Now, next verse, please. Here, and I give my, well, I'm looking for a scripture. It says this. It says, maybe a little further back, to grow and abound in this grace. Everybody say grow and abound. Say it again. Now, what I mean by that, you ain't going to start off giving thousands. But start off where you are and be faithful. I'm working on an invention. It's a little screen that when you walk through the door, if you're a non-tither, it'll go, thief, 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 thief. I believe I can sell those to pastors. Huh? Now, talk to people who don't tithe, and they will tell you they can't afford. They don't think of themselves as thieves, but the Bible calls you a thief. So we're quiet in here. Pastor, want me to preach on tithe? Just kidding, folks, lighten up. Everybody say, I love Mother Dale. Look at verse 7. It's verse 7. Therein as ye abound in everything in faith. You should be growing in faith. Huh? Now, we start off with $2. I left Canada the other day and gave $2,000, my last revival. I give away more today than I used to take in. I didn't get there overnight. I remember the first time I heard God, he said, see that man in the back, give him $20. I was praying, Lord, Lord, use me. Use me, Lord, use me. He said, see that man, give him $20. I said, use me some other way. Utterance, abound in faith, abound in utterance. How many in here has ever prophesied? One. Anybody ever prophesied? Have you ever interpreted the message? When you start off, you're not very proficient. I remember years ago when I started prophesying, and I'd rhyme a little bit as God gave me the utterance. But now, 40 years later, I preach as high as 20 minutes, 30 minutes in a rhyme. Grace developed. Listen to me carefully. I'm smarter than you think. You may have great faith in the area of salvation, but very limited in faith in healing. Great faith in getting a soul saved. But if you don't have faith in finances, you ain't going to reach very many people. So it's not just faith in salvation, faith in healing, faith in the Holy Ghost, faith in finances. It's also developing your grace in that faith to where you can do more than you've ever done before. When I was in high school, my nickname was the Spoiler. I was a ladies' man. Somebody just forgot to tell the ladies, but I'm sure I was a ladies' man. I'm sure of it. But none of them would have voted that Dale Begley would wind up a preacher. Huh? But you understand, seeds was planted in me as a little boy, and the call was there. Deep calls to deep. Come on, somebody. And I've gone further and faster than I ever dreamed I would. Been to Africa, Jamaica, Canada, Asia, Europe, another foreign country, Arkansas. I preached in Catholic, Baptist, Presbyterian, Pentecostal, non-denominational, no denominational, like to be denominational. I preach in Baptist. Amen. I don't care. The word's the same. If you don't like me, it's not because of what I preach, because it's all Bible.
Well, I don't see it that way. Well, repent. God will show it to you.
He said, abound in this grace. What grace? The grace of giving. And so over the years, we went from 2 to 5 to 10 to 30 to 50 to 100 to 200 to 500 to 1,000. I can't wait to get now, at one time we give 10, and one time we give almost 100,000. But I can't wait till I can do it regularly. Just regular. Come on, somebody. Wouldn't it be the greatest thrill of my heart to come in here and write this pastor a $100,000 check? Whoo! Tickle me and him both. Amen. Huh? We've paid off widow women's houses. We've built houses in Guatemala. We've dug wells in Africa. Come on, somebody. It's not about us. It's about it flowing through you so you can be a blessing to somebody else. When it starts sticking to you, he said, if you start withholding, you'll tend up in poverty. But if you'll scatter, you'll wind up in prosperity. This is real good preaching. Think I'll go on. This will affect you and your kids. Now, have some discipline about yourself and start paying off your small bills. I had a friend of mine, and he run a government low-rent housing project up in Kansas. And he had a lady that was always late on her rent. And I just can't think this way. I just can't think this way. People today rent furniture by the week. They rent furniture by the week. My wife's sister years ago rented a VCR. And I don't know what it was, but I think she wound up paying $900 for a $300 VCR. It's mine. As your soul, your choices, your decision process. You don't need anything you'll be the eyes until you get there. And so he was telling me how a lady that was always late on the rent bought herself a car. Well, she can't afford gas or tag or insurance. So it sat in the parking lot or the driveway while she laid on her rent. Isn't that wonderful? God says, if you're not faithful in little, I can't trust you with much. If you're not faithful with little, I can't trust you with the anointing. Can I be real truthful with you? You have to be careful, because I've studied church history, church revivals, and men with too much glory tend to get off. Alexander Dowie got thousands and thousands of people healed and didn't even believe in speaking in tongues. Matter of fact, he is against it. John G. Lake came up under him, believed in speaking in tongues, and got thousands and thousands of people healed. But Alexander Dowie got to where he thought he was Elijah, and still got people healed. Your doctrine can be off, but the gifts are still work. You don't have to be perfect for the Lord to use you. There's probably not any two in here on this place that agree on everything. William Branham had such an anointing on his life. Now, John G. Lake, the FBI said that there in Washington, where he was the most healthiest city in America because of his healing schools. The average getting 100 people a day healed of fatal diseases. 100 a day. Healing rooms, they called it. William Branham had truckloads of crutches and wheelchairs and so forth. But he got off in his doctrine. And he died young because he got off. Are you listening to me? The three G's, the gold, the glory, and the girls. If you can't handle them, they're a detriment. But if you'll deal with covetousness, the Bible tells you how. If you would be rich, Timothy, be willing to share. It'll always keep you humble. It's a lot better preaching than you are saying amen. Now, I'm not preaching anything I hadn't practiced. I remember going to revival in Colgate, Oklahoma. Gas is sitting on E for evaporation. It's 14 miles over there and 14 miles back. I went over there, gave the speaker my last $100, and drove home on E. It didn't come in the next day. Are you listening to me? But today, we're living in the harvest of the seeds we planted yesterday. I'm telling you, if you will stay faithful, if you'll tie into this, within a matter of months, you won't even recognize where you're at. God will get supernaturally involved. Amen. Another man called me, and he was having some financial struggles. I told him what to do. Start paying off your small debts first. He called me the other day. It's been a year later. He's halfway out of debt. Start with the small ones. Pay an extra house payment every once in a while. I had a banker look at me. Now, I'm not bragging. I'm talking about Jesus. I can walk in two different banks and get $10,000 just by signing my name. They know me. When I started paying off all my debts and doing this and paying extra on the thing, he said, where did you learn this? I said, from a book. Woo! I heard Jerry Savelle say this. It's about the same time the Lord dealt with me on it, about 25 years ago. He said, I want you to preach on prosperity because I want my church debt-free, and I want them walking in the hundredfold. Isaac, sold in famine, got a hundredfold until the Philistines were scared of him. Have any devils been scared of your finances? And so I backed away and didn't preach it because it brought so much. He's a money preacher. Well, first of all, I've had people tell me, you're a skirt-chasing money preacher. Boy, you are dead wrong. If I was a skirt chaser, my wife would kill me. If I was a money preacher, I wouldn't be in Elkins. Let me say amen. But the world don't understand why you do this. Now, not bragging on me. When I was 22 years old, I worked for the government. In 1 year's time, I brought my county up to the best county in the state of Oklahoma in 1 year. The governor wrote me a letter, told me how pleased he was in what our accomplishment in 1 year. I could take a vision and in 5 years retire.
Well, you're just in it for the money.
Well, how come you ain't preaching? It's not about the money. It's just a tool. We're supposed to use it. But you can't use it, you don't have it. I was in Georgia, in a church. They're talking about paying their church off. And I said, Lord, you want me to pay their church off? I had the money, just write them a check, pay the church off. He said, no, I don't. He said, they're not good givers here. He said, if I ever tell you to pay the church off, pay half it off, and have them to pay the other half, and sign a contract where they won't borrow for the next 5 years. See, you got to be serious about this. Because sure as you will, something will come up that you can't afford at this time, and you're going to borrow enough money to get it. There'll always be houses, always be land, always be cars. But the freedom that debt-free brings is priceless. Amen. Devil can't put no pressure on me. Go anywhere I want to go. Stay as long as I want to stay.
Now, folks, I was on the other side 30 years ago. I couldn't do that.
I had to have that offering for gas money that night. I just kept on believing, kept on saying, he takes pleasure in the prosperity of Brother Dale. My Father takes pleasure in my prosperity. It takes a while to turn it. Takes a while to turn a big ship. But how many believe he can turn it? How many people you think this church would fill if everybody you came in here, you paid their house off? Oh, they'd be lining up to come to church. But you got a stipulation, you need to come here and sit in the word for a while. You come on, hey, just frivolously, because, you know, they won't use it wisely. They're going to borrow you again and you're about the same shape. Are you listening to me? If you know anything about God, he's very, very big on stewardship. He watches you, how you handle things, how he can bless you as your soul prospers. So I challenge you to start developing that giving grace. I said this one night in another church not too far from here. I said, why don't you pay 15% tithe instead of 10? Or bump it up to 20. Three people took me up on it. And within 1 year, those three people that heard that, all was debt free. It either works or it doesn't. If it doesn't, let's go to the house. Huh? But I just believe God that he wants to bring his people to a place where they don't have to bow their knee to the world. Huh? When pressure does come, you go to the Father for the answer. This is my first final closing. Because I hear this a lot. Well, you know, brother, the Bible said that the prayer of a righteous man, oh, it avails much. Have you ever looked that prayer up? It's in James chapter 5, verse 17. But actually, he's quoting Kings 17:1. And if you look that prayer up, you know what it was? Elijah went out there and said, it shall not rain. His prayer was what he said. Saying is equal to praying. Saying is recognizing your authority and speaking it and not asking God to do it. You expect to do it through what you say. Now I'm closing. We have trillions of angels sent to the earth to wait on you. So I speak to us, angels, go out there and hunt that finances up and bring it into my bosom. Bring it into my hand. You ought to believe God. If you need $3,000 a month, $5,000 a month, believe God for that and send the angels out every month to get it.
I ain't going to do that. Well, guess what?
You ain't going to get no heaven email. That's what they're for. Send them out there. Send them out there. Give them the right to go out and gather it up. Now, if you're wasteful and frivolous and just talk, yeah, forget it. They ain't going to do that. But if you're serious, you'll stay focused and start commissioning the angels to go out there. They'll open doors no man can shut. They'll bring in finances to you. Final closing. As a general rule, when God's going to bless you, he'll bless you through the channel that you're used to.
Well, what do you mean? Let me explain.
Peter was a fisherman. He heard Jesus preach. He had toiled all night, got nothing. Jesus said, cast your net on the right side, in the deep. He said, I've toiled all night, ain't no use, but never let at thy word. Just simply obey the word. He put his net in, got a boat sinking, net breaking load. He's a fisherman. He sold fish. Would he have got the fish if he had no bait? No, he would not. I've been driving down the road. The Lord said, buy that property. I said, I don't want that property. He said, buy that property. Buy that property. He sold it at $100,000. He's no respecter of person. Huh? Well, I don't want that old house. You don't know. Walmart's fixed to move in. I'll give you 10 times what it's worth. God knows things you don't know. So you have to learn to trust him and step out there and do things he tells you to do. I'm so full of this, I can preach all night. But have you ever seen a cow milk itself? Corn go jump in the barn. Chickens bring eggs to the table. No, we also got to do the harvesting. Let me get this right. I got to do the planting and the watering and the harvesting. You do if you want the complete cycle. Give the Lord a good shout, everybody. I want you debt-free. I want you blessed. Huh? I washed dishes and bought my first car for $135. When I was 6 years old, I picked cotton all day long for $3. God has brought us a long ways. He had to get some poverty out of us. If you'd have told me, at 6 years old, there'd be a day that I would buy a bottle of water, I'd say, you crazy. It falls out of the sky. You see, folks, we live in the best times that's ever been on the planet. We ought to be taking our cities. We ought to. I don't know, but I think every church ought to buy them a tent and have a revival outside their church where people can see. A lot of people don't know how crazy we are. That scripture said, shout. You go to shouting. God has blessed me. I'm the head and not the tail. Above and not beneath. I lend and don't have to borrow. Oh, we're all pretty secure behind these walls. But they need to see the Holy Ghost. They need to hear you talk in tongues. They do. Don't bother me talking in tongues. I might talk in tongues at a funeral. I don't care. What do I care?
Now, preacher, calm down.
The Bible says tongues is a sign not to the believer, to the unbeliever. Somebody smile. Do you think they'd be less pressure on you if I came to your house, paid off all your bills, put $100,000 in the bank? Would that make you a little more thankful to God? I thank Him every day. I thank Him because I got a nice car to drive, nice clothes. Come on, some good food, huh? That's the key to staying humble. Humility, long life, wealth, prosperity, humility. Give the Lord another shout. I'd like for you to stand on your feet, please. Stand on your feet. The Lord dealt with me to speak under the anointing to break poverty off our people. I know you've heard me say this, but it bears repetition because people carry it sometimes a lifetime. Have you ever been to Granny's house? Pull one of her kitchen drawers open. She got tinfoil, every mayonnaise jar. Got bent nails. Granny, why can't you got bent nails? Might want to build a crooked house one of these days. My mother-in-law, she's in heaven. She can't get to me. Her name was Virgie. I bought her a coffee maker for her birthday. She's in her 80s. I go back a year or two later. Virgie, how do you like a coffee maker? Oh, she said, I'm saving it. I said, saving it? What she saved it for? You're 82 years old. Do you understand? You can't take none of it with you. You might as well use it while you're here. Huh? Use it for the glory of God. Would you raise your right hand? Put your other hand on your heart. Now, I'm serious. We're going to break poverty off of people. Poverty thinking, poverty talking, poverty attitude. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, as I stand in the office of the prophet, I speak on the anointing, not one word shall fall to the ground. I come against that poverty mentality, that poverty devil. I cast you out in the name of the Lord Jesus. We take authority over you, and we bind you and tell you to leave these people's minds and memories in Jesus' name. Father, outdoor toilets was not the good old days. Today is the good old days. Father, I speak divine, divine, supernatural increase. One plants, one waters, and God, you give the increase. You're all about increase. I ask you to increase these people's finances. Cause the angels to bring it in. Give them divine favor everywhere they turn. Debt cancellation. I speak right now on the anointing. Debt-free in Jesus' name. This is their year to become debt-free in Jesus' name. Now go ahead and shout like you got it. Shout like you got it. Oh, shout like you got it. If it's real to you, shout like you got it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. How many believe I preach the truth? Then I expect you to practice it. Huh? If you have to, bite your lip. Never again say, I can't afford. If you're not there, you choose out and say, I choose not to buy that today. Amen. You hooked up with God, he owns it all. Amen. He owns all the cattle. I told him, I said, Lord, need to sell some of them cows. He got a sense of humor. He does. God has a sense of humor. He does. Anyone need prayer tonight? Remain standing. Anyone need prayer for sickness or anything like that? Anyone need prayer for in your physical body? Well, go ahead and be seated. Just, I won't keep you long. Anybody need prayer for anything? This is our last night. Anybody need prayer for anything? Maybe you drove several miles. We won't keep you long. I promise I'm going to let you go here quickly. Anybody need prayer for anything? Actually, at this point, you ought to be to a place you can speak it yourself. Actually, we ought to start seeing ourselves not as people in the prayer lines, but ourselves praying for others. Almost every church you go to, half of them are sick, half of them are broke. That shouldn't be. Well, it stops today at this church. Stops today. Give the Lord another good shout. We serve a good, good Father. He takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. Bow your head. I'm going to pray one more prayer. Father, before we change the order of the service, Lord, I pray for everyone here, their relatives, their brothers, their sisters, their cousins, their in-laws. I pray that you supernaturally make these people a witness to where they cannot deny that God is in these people's lives. And you draw them to the bleeding side of Calvary. Not one of their relatives shall die and go to a devil's hell. You said the love in the book of Jude would pull them right out of the fire. We pull these people's kinfolks right out of the fire with the witness of prosperity and blessing on these people's lives. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Give the Lord one more praise, everybody. One more praise. I wish in my 20s, some older preacher would have called me aside and preached this to me. Amen. We sat under poverty for years and get up and brag about how poor we were. And then the thing about a cabin, poor. Those days are over. Amen. I said amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, did y'all receive anything out of revival? Yes. Have me consent you're another rung up on the ladder. You're another, you're a little step higher. Your faith has grown. Your grace